Hello and welcome to The Hearing, our music review show here on the channel. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's album, just want to mention that Marion Call will be doing an online concert on August 18th. We're off next week, so I want to talk about it this week.
Sure.
It's Marion's summer shindig at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern at concertwindow.com/Marion Call. There will be a link in the description, of course. She'll be backed up by Laura Zahasky on guitar and mandolin. And this is just going to be a regular concert, no karaoke aspect like last time.
Okay.
And for her online concerts, they're interesting. I think this time she's playing a venue. Usually she's just in her husband's office with an accompanist. I don't know if she's doing a venue this time or not. But it's free or pay what you want. It's about 2 hours.
Very Aunt Phillips of her who did a live album called Live from My Living Room.
Yeah. She literally has done an online show from her living room.
Yeah.
Beauties of the internet. Anyway, on to this week's album, which is from 2011, Artificial Heart by Jonathan Colton. Jonathan Colton, often called Joko by his fans, which is how I'll be referring to him. I'm a huge fan. Just get that out of the way. Is an American singer-songwriter known for his quirky, geeky lyrics about such things as a man who thinks in simian terms, a mad scientist who falls in love with one of his captives, or the dangers of bacteria, and his use of the internet to draw fans. Among his most popular songs are Code Monkey, Re-Your Brains, Still Alive, and Want You Gone. The last three featured in games developed by Valve, specifically Left 4 Dead 2, Portal, and Portal 2. In fact, I think that was his first big taste of any kind of fame were the Portal songs, Still Alive and Want You Gone. He has been the house musician for NPR's weekly puzzle game Ask Me Another since 2012. In 2004, Joko had a job coding software, but for fun, he'd written some quirky pop songs. And in a bit of stone-skipping serendipity, I'm quoting this part from his bio on his site. This is a mix of that in Wikipedia. The additional musicians list on Wikipedia was very wrong. So I had to go through a couple of different places. He'd written some quirky pop songs, and in a bit of stone-skipping serendipity, he got invited to play at a tech conference. Afterward, Colton watched a speech by Lawrence Lessig in which the Harvard law professor described the Creative Commons, shared art uploaded online, liberated from traditional copyright. All of our stuff, our podcast is Creative Commons. When Colton walked out into the cold Maine sunshine, he remembers, "It was like my head was on fire. I was like, holy shit. Something is happening." Now he realized there was a whole new way to reach an audience. At 34, married with a newborn daughter, he quit his day job. In 2005, he launched the Thing a Week project, sparking a burst of productivity that turned him into a cult figure, online famous anyway. Thing a Week took place from September 16th to 2005. September 16th, 2005. To September 30th, 2006, so just over a year, during which he recorded 52 musical pieces. He wrote and recorded a song per week to prove to himself that he could produce creative output to a deadline and see whether a professional artist could use the internet to distribute via Creative Commons to support himself. In September 2006, in an interview, he said of the experiment, "In some parts of the country, I'd be making a decent living." And in February 25th, another connection to my birthday, 2008, in an interview with This Week in Tech, he said that he'd made more money in 2007 than he did in the last year working as a programmer. 40% from digital downloads, 44% from merchandise and performances.
It is a very early, for musical distribution, really. Mm-hmm.
He was way ahead of the curve, which is why he's as well known as he is. I've been a fan since 2006 when I first heard him. I heard Code Monkey. He's kind of, at least he's less so now, but for a while there, he was kind of the John Lennon of the internet. Whenever there was a question about net neutrality or copyright or anything in those areas, somebody would interview him. So he was very much a mouthpiece. Among geeks, he's extremely well known, even though he's not at all well known in the main.
Right.
Artificial Heart is Joko's eighth studio album. Sorry. He's done a few live albums. He started production on Artificial Heart after encouragement from John Flansburg of They Might Be Giants, which is why we're reviewing it this week. Also the album's producer. much like Colton's previous work, Artificial Heart's lyrics, unlike, sorry, much of Colton's previous work, Artificial Heart's original lyrics don't lean as heavily on geeky references as his previous albums, and lean into some heavier themes such as betrayal, commitment, abandonment, and surrender. Artificial Heart was his first album to chart, eventually reaching number one on Billboard's Heat Seeking. This is weird. Eventually reaching Billboard's Heatseekers at 125. And let me take that again. Number one on Heatseekers, 125 on the Billboard 200. I can't read and speak. As I mentioned earlier, it was produced by John Flansburgh and featured Jonathan Colton on guitar, vocals, ukulele, and other things. He plays a handful of instruments.
There are a number.
Well, there are a lot of side players too. Anderson on bass, Marty Beller on drums. Additional musicians, this is what I had to get from his website as well, because again, Wikipedia is very wrong. Dan Miller on guitar on Sticking It to Myself, Glasses and Still Alive. Guitar solo on Good Morning Tucson. And piano on Artificial Heart. Smokey Hormel, guitar on Alone at Home in the Stash. Love that name.
That sounds like a...
That's a stage name, but I love it. John Graboff, mandolin on The World Belongs to You, and nylon string guitar on Fraud. Joe McGinty and John Spurney on keyboards. John Flansburgh, sequencing on Je Suis Rick Springfield. I hope Apolline doesn't hear me say that. percussion and programming on Down Today and Hand Claps, along with Marty Beller and Joe Kell on Artificial Heart. Marco Rafosco, apologies if I'm mispronouncing anything. Marimba on Je Suis Rick Springfield. Hal Cragen, bass on Je Suis Rick Springfield and Dissolve. Dorrit Chrysler, theremin on Still Alive. Yes, there's theremin on this.
Oh, album. Yes.
Stan Harrison, saxophone and horn arrangement on Sticking It to Myself. And Don Levine, trombone and horn arrangements on Today with Your Wife. And finally, John Roderick, Suzanne Vega, and Sarah Quinn on guest vocals. Reminder, finally, onto the tracks. I don't edit any songs into the episodes, but all of Jonathan Colton's music, with the exception of his latest album, are available on his website. He holds the latest album back for a while. You can stream them, and you can stream anything else he's done on his website for free. So there'll be a link in the description, as well as a link to Spotify, so you can listen along. On to track one, Sticking It to Myself. This album was the only thing I listened to for about 2 months after it came out. I should mention, when he sold the album, he offered it in multiple packages.
Okay.
Beginning with the digital download for $10, up to a box set for $100 called Level 4 that included a music box, all of his music on a thumb drive, a couple of t-shirts, the vinyl.
That makes sense.
A handful of other things.
That's kind of how it's going to be done, you know, for most artists, I think.
I went Level 4.
Yeah.
And I've listened to nothing else for like 2 months. I could have written this review without even listening to it. I know Anyway, back to Sticking It to Myself. The first two songs are very They Might Be Giants.
Right, right. I was also picking up a lot of Ben Folds.
Oh, yeah. On this one particularly, yeah.
Well, more so an Artificial Heart, I think, than this one.
Okay.
But I think the two meet here, sort of, you know. Yeah, so I'm like, that's interesting.
I'm not very familiar with Ben Folds, his music anyway. I know him from a singing show he judged on, but I've really only heard Breck. I need to,
Army.
The one about the ex-girlfriend. Give Me My Money Back.
Oh.
I forget the name.
Well, there's also he did a duet with Suzanne Vega as well.
Oh, okay.
You Don't Know Me.
But yeah, I do need to delve into his catalog a bit more. I'm a guitar player at heart. You know, I started off on guitar, so I lean toward guitar music. So Ben Folds, even though there is bass, it kind of missed me. But I should dig into his stuff. Back to Sticking It to Myself. Loved the mix of distorted guitar and saxophone. Which is pretty much the song. It's guitar. It's right.
And
sax. It's like They Might Be Giants leaning into their punk side. love the wordplay where he bridges sentences with one common word. To get inside my head is full. Sticking it to my self control. Not my own gun against my back down now. As a poet, you know, I love the way he kind of, you know, played around with words that way.
We don't often get to hear your take on lyrics.
I'm commenting on a lot of lyrics this time. This was my favorite album until Standing Stones came along. And so, you know, I'm very familiar with it. And so I know the lyrics. A lot of times I don't comment on lyrics because it's the my first time hearing the album.
Yeah.
And music is what I notice first, being an instrumentalist. I'm a poet and a writer too, so I don't know why I don't gravitate toward lyrics first, but they just kind of go over me.
Sometimes, like if you're listening to rap, of course, lyrics are a huge part of that.
And also, there's not much to the music on this one. It's just kind of big and loud, simplistic and aggressive. I like the sparse bridge where it's just bass, vocal, and sax, and a great lyric. You don't seem interested in what I just said. If you're not listening, then don't nod your head. There are many times in my life I've wanted to quote that. Also, this is one of the few songs Jonathan Coulton has done where he's cursed. There are two on this album. There were maybe three before this.
I didn't think anything of it.
It's still kind of shocking for a fan. The line "badass fucking fractal" from the song Mandelbrot Set, which gives you an idea of the rest of his catalog.
Right.
Was one of the first times. It's like I can probably count on one hand, so it's still kind of shocking. On to track two, Artificial Heart. This is, you mentioned Ben Folds, and I can see it, but to me, this is straight up a They Might Be Giants song.
Oh, I really thought this was...
This is more Ben Folds for you. I need to listen to more of his catalog. I love the metaphor of a broken heart to actual heart surgery, like a heart replacement. Because it really is about a broken heart.
Yeah.
Love the sparse opening of the verses where it's just piano and percussion. And it's this weird electronic percussion, even before the piano comes in. And on the chorus, there's this really bright, kind of cheesy 70s synth. That you would hear in like ads. It has this
right.
Love that. It gave it a bit of an ELO feel. On those choruses, it gets very ELO.
When I think of ELO, I always think of a much larger sound than that. I think I'd see where you get that, where with harmony stuff.
I can't think of the name of the song, but it was the one used in the Doctor Who episode.
Oh.
Where the chorus is all piano.
I can't remember a Doctor Who using ELO.
It was the one where there was that group that were like trying to find the Doctor. It was an episode that the Doctor wasn't really in much.
Aren't they all? Well, not that the Doctor is in it, but I mean that they're always trying to find the Doctor.
Yeah. Back to Artificial Heart. I loved this sort of weird synth solo. He does a lot for a guitar. I mean, Colton's a guitar player, but he does a lot of interesting keyboard solos.
Well, yeah, the piano and keyboards are a big part of the album.
And I love how it picks up at the end, because it was, you know, this is after the surgery, after his heart's been replaced and he's getting over it. And it's kind of like it ends on a big fuck you to the woman who broke his heart. On to track three, one of my favorites, Nemesis, featuring guest vocals by John Roderick of the Long Winters.
This is kind of sort of an area where I thought the album was a little flat for me.
Interesting.
Couldn't really, you know, pick up much.
This is one that really thrives on the lyrics. Because the song is very kind of one level.
Well, right, it is.
I like how they kind of evenly share the lyrics. Like, I'm not even sure who has lead. Roderick sings a couple of lines on his own, so I guess he's the lead. I just love some of the lines. So even this, you know, it's an amazing smile. Even the suit has teeth.
Right.
And I mean, it's a song from the perspective of a supervillain who has found the hero who will challenge him. And I just love how prominent the bass is. You know, I'm a bass player. You don't even know my name. The hidden blade. Well played, something like well played.
Well played, yeah.
Yeah, in the bridge. I just love the idea of a supervillain saying, you know, now I found my nemesis, now I can actually start the master plan. On to track four, The World Belongs to You. Now, this was a really nice change of pace because it's a bluegrass song.
Right, well, there's like this interesting country Caribbean feel to it kind of at the same time, I thought.
Well, it's guitar and mandolin. It's just straight up bluegrass. With great mandolin playing, very quick.
The rhythm really, to me, feels more Caribbean than than country or bluegrass.
Do you listen to a lot of bluegrass?
Occasionally, yeah.
See, I don't like country. I actually do like bluegrass.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I guess it's kind of like country prog.
Well, right, right.
You know, with the technical skill. But this is, from what I've heard of bluegrass, this is a very straight bluegrass song, rhythmically. And it's about religion, of course, which, you know, it's a criticism of religion, which I love. It's about a spoiled, tyrannical celebrity who becomes obsolete. And it's "The World Belongs to You."
Oh, wow. Yeah, I did not get that. Well, I mean, I didn't get the lyrics on it.
And I loved the line, "Even your angels think you're done, they roll their eyes at you."
That is good.
On to track 5, "Today with Your Wife." This has one of the best opening lines ever. "I had a great time today with your wife under an awning." Colton, Joko will not explain what this song is about.
It just sounds like he's...
met up with this woman who is the wife of someone he's singing to.
Yeah. And
it was raining, so they ran into each other at a shopping center. Like, sounds like a strip mall or something. Yeah. And it was raining, so they hung out under an awning and talked for a while, and it had been a while since they talked. And, you know, the kids are playing in the rain. And he won't say what the song is about. The prevailing theory among his fans is that the husband is dead.
Oh, wow.
And ever since I read that theory, the song always chokes me up.
Huh.
And there's a line in the bridge. Was it stupid car stuck in the snow, getting home too late to go. I'm not saying anything. Just thought you'd like to know.
Huh.
And I think that the car getting in the stuck in the snow is a hint at how he died.
Wow.
Because the only thing that makes sense is why he would be saying this, you know, "I ran into your wife." Why would he be saying, "I ran into your wife"? And it had been too long since they'd talked. You know, she's a widow, and they hadn't really talked since the funeral.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He's saying this to, you know, this his, you know, in sort of, I guess, this the ghost or the spirit of his late friend.
Yeah.
And just the only thing I have about the music on this one, really nice. It's just vocal and piano until the bridge, when these horns come in. It feels, again, kind of 70s, but it's just a beautiful song. But it's a bit, you know, odd, but you know, but it's, I if you look at it in the lens of the husband is dead, it makes sense.
It does, and it makes it adds a lot more wallop to the song that's kind of needed to it too, because it's very
and this was in 2011 and he's never said anything about it.
It's very kind of I'm trying to think of the 70s acts, like I guess Air or 10cc kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. On to track 6, "Sucker Punch." This is the first rocker of the album. There's rock song,
and it's needed here.
Although to me it's kind of the weak link, because it's a very simple song.
In fact, I did not realize it had ended because
while I was drinking.
I'm listening to it. I'm not completely, you know, like just watching the Spotify thing play, and it goes right into the next track. Right. And the two sound like they're really one song.
It's two verses and two choruses, and that's it. And it's very quick. It's a punk song. And it does feel a bit Blink-182, which for me would normally be an insult, but it's in a good way. And it has a really interesting whiny vocal, because it's about a kid who just wants to go out drinking and causing trouble with his friends.
Yeah.
Loved how the bass takes the turnaround in the riff. Loved the great kind of syncopated blasts in the chorus. The band just hits on certain beats, and that's for the entire chorus. There's a steady rhythm. But yeah, it's just a very simple, aggressive rock song. I guess it's fun for the first few times. I've just heard it too much and it's gotten a little.
And yeah, rhythmically, though, it is almost the same exact the song as Glasses, the next track. like I don't know how long I was into Glasses.
Really? No, Glasses is much slower.
I was in a new track.
This is one of my favorites. Another one of my favorites, Glasses.
I think I may have been like halfway through, and I'm like, wait a minute.
It's Rhythmically Glasses is a lot slower than Sucker Punch, but they're both loud rock songs with, you know, distorted guitar. So yeah, they kind of do run nicely together.
Like, it sounds like it's like a break to it, kind of, and then it's just going into this other direction. Yeah. But it sounds like it's the same song.
Yeah, well, yeah, tonally it's very similar. It's just a distorted guitar rock song. And an interesting subject for a rock song: marriage and raising a family. That's what it's about. It's about, you know, what you go through as in a marriage, and, you know, at the end of the chorus is I like you in glasses. You know, it's about getting older and raising a family together. Love the harmonies in the second on the chorus. How the bass comes in just in verse two, where it's just, it starts off with just guitar and vocals, and the bass just comes in nice and subtly. And I love how it's just vocals on the second. On the third verse, and the kind of raggedly guitar. It's just a great rock song about a very unusual subject that, you know, fits a guy who was a year and a half, or a year and change older than me. He's in his late 40s, so, you know, at this point he was in his early 40s, but, you know, writing about what he knows. Now, for something completely different.
My favorite track on the album.
I had a feeling. Track 8, Je suis Rick Springfield. Again, apologies to Pauline for mispronouncing that. This was written in English and run through Google Translate.
Really?
And one day I had Apolline listen to this and a song called Hungry for You by The Police, which is also in French. She couldn't finish listening to Hungry for You, which was written by Sting, who I would guess probably speaks French. But the song that was written through Google Translate, she said, it was a good attempt. Love that he references Rick Springfield, because you have to be our age to know who the fuck Rick Springfield is.
Yes, and I had to look up the English translation, and it's just fucking phenomenal. I mean, I listened to this a few times before actually looking up the translation, and it references the stupid album cover with the dog on the
cover. Rick Springfield, or suppose a guy who claims to be Rick Springfield, in a bar in France trying to pick up two girls and bragging about how he used to be, who he used to be. You know, he had an album with a dog on the cover, and he knew he was on a TV show. You know, it's the chorus in English, if I recall correctly, is, you know, I am Rick Springfield, I'm here at the bar, and I'm a cool dude who plays the guitar. And then the bridge is from the girl's perspective.
Right.
And you read the English lyrics, so you'll may correct me, but from what I understand, it's something along the lines of, who is this idiot and why is he talking about a dog?
Yes. Who is this idiot? Why is he talking about a dog? Something about a very good dog? I do not understand this.
It's just a really bizarre song. The instrumentation is organ and marimba for most of it.
Okay, I thought it might have been xylophone, but yeah,
marimba is kind of like a xylophone. Yeah. That's most of the song, and an acoustic guitar.
And so, right.
Just really oddball, classic joke. Yeah. Track 9, onto track 9, Alone at Home. Again, pretty much a punk song. This one even more punk than Sucker Punch.
Yeah, I would definitely categorize this more as punk than Sucker Punch, even.
And I loved it. It's this loud, aggressive punk song, almost hardcore, with this really calm vocal. Yeah. Really soft, calm vocal on the verses. Until he gets in the chorus and he's just screaming, I'm alone at home. And it's about a guy who is going out shopping with his wife.
Yes.
And he's like, I'll sit there with your purse and, you know, we'll go shopping for candles. And in the last verse, we can stop by your parents on the way. Haven't seen them at all since yesterday. And in the bridge, it all comes out, you know. I don't want anyone to see us like this. I hate this. People are arguing. Because he's so just like obviously bored and sedate in the verses.
Right.
And then he's like, you know, I'll do all of this because I'm also alone at home, you know, in his head. In his head, he's alone at home.
Yeah, is it that he prefers this to being alone at home, or is it just...
He basically says, I'll do all of this because I also am alone at home.
Yeah.
And maybe because he doesn't want to be alone. I never thought about that. I thought maybe in his imagination, he's alone at home. But it could also be he doesn't want to be sitting alone at home while his wife goes out. Yeah.
Yeah.
On to track 10, my absolute favorite on the album and probably my absolute favorite Jonathan Coulton song, Fraud. another very off-kilter song about the creative process.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
You know, talking about, it basically analogizes it to almost having a child, you know.
Okay.
Soft teeth test your skin, too late you let an angel in. But I love so many of the lyrics I love. You're afraid whatever choice you make won't be exactly the right mistake.
It has a very Hack It How kind of feel to it, you know. Yeah.
It's almost classical. The main riff.
Oh yes, exactly.
It feels almost classical, and there's a nylon string guitar playing opposite the vocal, but the bass line is in a completely different time signature.
Oh yeah.
From the main song, I think they're both in six, but they're approaching it very differently. So the bass is really off kilter. There's no drums. It's just two guitars and a bass.
But this is something you'd find on a, you know, early 70s, mid 70s, yeah, you know, prog album between the big songs, mm-hmm, you know.
Another great lyric. It follows you through. It follows through. 4 a.m. It's calling you. What's the over under on getting it done without always regretting it? You know, when you're creating something, you're gonna make compromises. You know, don't imagine you'll ever win any race you aren't running in. And then the bridge, where the title comes from. And this is chopped, where I think he recorded each word separately and layered them in, because they kind of bleed over onto each other here and there. I bet you feel tapped out and nothing left to talk about. I guess you're right, you fraud. Anyone who has ever created anything has felt that.
Yeah.
So I just adore this song. On to track 11, another classic Jonathan Colton song. Good Morning Tucson. Yeah,
very interesting, because I mean, you get the story, but you're not sure what he's.
There's a surprise in the last verse. It's about a newscaster who's really bored with his job and decides to burn down the studio. And it's just this really mellow piano and acoustic guitar arrangement. And it's most of it is just, you know, I don't have to talk. I pull my earpiece out, you know, so I don't have to listen to them. And when they think I'm writing something, I'm really far away.
Yeah.
You know, I pull my earpiece out so they can just cue me through the window. I don't have to listen to anything. He's just been doing it for decades.
Going through the motions, yeah.
And he has some kind of break and decides in the last verse to burn the studio down. I love the line, I'm still sort of amazed that you can be born in the 90s. The second verse is, when I was coming up, I got the donuts, which means I got the donuts that I wanted. There was no young punk to steal my jelly glazed, and I'm still sort of amazed that you can be born in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then it's just this last line about, you know, when the prompter dies, I'm comfortable winging it. I'm practically singing it. The world that tears the world apart. The song that tears the world apart. And he talks about seeing his giant face on a billboard through the smoke as the building burns. it's just a surprise twist at the ending of this song about this bored newscaster. On to track 12, probably the most abstract song on the album. Now I Am an Arsonist, featuring guest vocals by Suzanne Vega. This is the second album we've reviewed that she's guested on. We need to review one of her albums one of these days.
What was she on the first?
Some of the Rains. She was on In a Lonely Place.
Right.
Again, very abstract. I have no idea what this song is about.
Well, it's another song about an arsonist, apparently.
But even though I have no idea.
Back-to-back fire starters.
But even though I have no idea what it's about, emotionally it hits, which I don't know. I don't quite know why. Loved the way Suzanne Vega and Jonathan Colton harmonized. Their voices just blend.
Perfectly. Of course, that's what it's all about there. But the lyrics, where do they start out with? They didn't start out with "I'm an arsonist."
No. I was just an acrobat, high above the street. It's an acrobat, an architect.
Right,
an astronaut architect. You looking the lyrics up?
Yes, because, I mean, yeah, they were, you know, getting at something.
But yeah, there is a meaning to it. They're saying something. I just don't quite pick up on it. And it's very emotional. Like, particularly Suzanne Vega. She has this great ability to put so much emotion into her voice. Which is surprising, because she has kind of... I won't say monotone, but she has a very kind of plain voice.
Right. She's it's a low key voice, but there's so much emotion to it.
As you're looking them up, speaking of the lyrics, I love the line, "The only one who's left is leaving."
Now you are an architect setting up the sea. I mean, it's just...
it's very abstract. Like, I know it's about something. They were saying something, but I don't know what it is.
I thought there was like an Icarus reference in there. Touch the sun, my eyes.
Wide open, unbelieving.
Catch the breath. The only one who's left is leaving. Now I am an arsonist.
The only one who's left is leaving. That's the only line that makes sense to me, and it just chills me. Any other lyrics you want to?
No, I'm still probably take a bit more analysis to
really get it. I've had this album for 7 years. I've listened to it many, many times, and I have no idea what that song is about. But I was just really touched by that line and just the emotion of the vocal.
Right.
Excuse me. On to track 13. Oh, and with Arsonist, it's just guitar and vocal and beautifully harmonized vocals. On to track 13, Down Today. Another very interesting arrangement. This is ukulele, Rhodes bass. Rhodes is an electric piano, but made by Fender. And electronic snapping percussion.
I mean, the bass playing is really sweet on this.
It's an electric piano. It's not a bass.
Yeah, okay. But, I mean, I guess that's why it would have so much to it.
It's not a bass guitar. It's an electric piano, ukulele, and this weird snapping percussion. Love how the bass isn't there until the pre-chorus, and then it just comes in and just plays this counterpart. And I just noticed after so many times that there's actually two ukuleles. They're kind of harmonized left and right.
Oh, yeah?
But it's basically about a guy who is, you know, getting over a failed relationship and basically just saying, you can't bring me down today. You know, I found someone new and we're, you know, me and the girl are taking a ride, you know. I won't be down today is the chorus. On to track 13, Dissolve. Another very 70s song. The instrument is a clavinet.
Yeah, I really liked this one. I was almost tempted to make this my pick. It reminded me a lot of Crowded House.
Interesting. Okay. Particularly vocally, there's the words now and cause before the chorus get harmonized, which is a very Crowded House sort of thing.
Yeah.
Love the line, everything was fine until it was awful. Instead, now watch me dissolve. Everything was fine until... I was a little off time there. Everything was fine until it was awful.
Those are very Crowded House type lyrics too. Actually, yeah, it is. Familiar with like a lot of their stuff. Post that first album.
He gets home, finds his partner had left him, and she left a small box on the table with something in it that just breaks him. And he never says what it is. It's like the glowing briefcase in Pulp Fiction.
Or that episode of Are You Being Served?
Yeah. He never says what's in the box, just that, you know, it made everything horrible. And then he gives it back to her. And he says, if you need me, I'll be anywhere but here. On to track 15, another really interesting, almost abstract, kind of abstract one again.
Yeah, it's sort of an a cappella thing to it, right?
Well, this is fascinating. It's called Nobody Loves You But Me.
Yeah.
Really, again, no idea what it's about. There's a mention of signing in pencil. Sign in pencil. So then that will show you. There's some kind of divorce, maybe.
Yeah.
There's been speculation about a divorce. There's holes in the bellow and blood on the keys is one of the lyrics later in the song, which it suggests that the singer, the person is from the perspective of is dying from lung cancer.
Oh, wow.
It's just a really odd arrangement of an affected vocal with an occasional bit of bass or electronic percussion.
This probably would have been a good way to end the album, actually, with this track.
Sure. Cool, because the next three are kind of interesting choices for the album. I think the last song fits for an ending because it just ends on a kind of a high note.
Yeah.
But still with Nobody Loves You But Me. Loved the line, the noises outside, the trucks in the street will cover my flight, my hero's retreat. He's speaking, running away out to be heroic. You know, here at the bar, who knows what, well, who knows where I'll be. Out on the, you know, and I'm blanking on lyrics, I apologize. But it's just a very sad song about someone who is, seems, who's running away for some reason.
And sometimes, though, it's good to end the album with a strange song like this, though, you know.
Well, the last song is pretty strange. Very
memorable.
Before we get to that last song, the next two are from the Portal games. Still Alive and Launching On, but different arrangements, particularly Still Alive, which is track 16. This features a guest vocal of Sarah, on, by Sarah Quinn from Tegan and Sarah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like them. The first time I listened to it, you know, not much stood out, you know, but then, of course, the theremin solo, of course, added points. The second time, though, really, it really, you know, spoke to me, you know?
Did you play Portal at all?
No.
I played Portal. Ironically, I was playing it the year we started podcasting. As I remember, there was one morning before you came over, I was playing.
All the way back in 2005.
But if you know the game, the lyrics make sense.
Okay.
It's all about what happens in the game. And I kind of love this version, even though it's kind of deliberately quirky, which I'm tired of things that are deliberately quirky, frankly. But Sarah Quinn's voice really makes it work.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's a fucking theremin solo.
Well, right, of course.
And this distorted guitar, which is straight out of the original. But when you've got, you know, a theremin and these weird percussion and her vocal, a distorted guitar really sticks out.
I always think of, when I hear that, I always think of They Might Be Giants in the song, you know, James K. Polk.
I'm going to look into that one.
They do a song about James K. Polk.
Well, yeah, it's because it's They Might Be Giants. And on to track 17, Want You Gone, the ending song from Portal 2. This one is actually very close to, excuse me, the original. Just with Jonathan Coulton singing instead of Ellen McLean, who sang it in the original and was the voice of Gladys, the evil AI in the game. Okay. Love some of the lines. I used to want you dead, now I only want you gone. You know, you've got your short, sad life left. Goodbye, my only friend. Oh, did you think I meant you?
Yeah.
You have to know the game to really appreciate it, I think.
The vocals on this really work nicely. The harmonies, the little falsetto he's using.
Mm-hmm. Because it was originally sung by a woman who was an opera singer.
Yeah.
And was with an affected voice because she was playing a killer AI in a video game. And that's who was singing the song. On to finally track 18, The Stash.
Very They Might Be Giants.
I really relate to this one.
Joe Jackson, kind of, you know?
Yeah. I grew my first mustache at 15, and it's all about, you know, a high school kid growing his mustache for the first time and just feeling like he's the biggest badass in the world.
Man, I'm trying to remember how old it just kind of like grew in, and you're just kind of like, oh, I guess I gotta start shaving.
Well, that was much younger. I was in an early start. I was in middle school when that happened. I mean, I was 15, summer of 87, when I deliberately grew it in between my freshman sophomore years. And you know, he just feels like the biggest badass in the world. Again, this is another one that feels very 70s.
I went full beard.
Oh wow. Okay. No, I went mustache. It was 87. You know, mustache. So you did have facial hair before college because you were clean shaven when we met.
For and, a little bit. It was like the summer of 90, I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then a couple years later, when we knew each other, we separated for a summer, came back, and we had changed appearances. You know, before then, I had hair down to here and a full beard. I come back, all clean cut.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, we did.
And then you have the beard and the long hair.
Yeah.
But I had a mustache at 15, so I totally relate to the song. I love the sort of childish bravado. You know, how, you know, all the girls will be fighting over him at the prom, but there's room for everyone. Between him and his best friend, you think they're willing to share everyone.
They Might Be Giants song I was thinking of is Snail Shell. Uh-huh. that it's very close to this.
Oh, okay, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
One of the last choruses I love, we'll be rocking the stash is the line of the tagline. And then strain the world, let the good stuff in. We'll be rocking the stash. Celebrate the skin, make your stand, celebrate the skin beneath your nose. You know, the line of, now you know what lips are for.
Yeah, I kind of like, that's gotta be, gotta remember that one.
And that's it. That's the last track.
We did it. 19 tracks. God damn it.
Two nights in a row. There were like 19 or 18. Sorry. 18 this week, 19 last week on Flood. So would you recommend it?
Yes, I would. Easily recommend this one.
And like I said, before Standing Stones, this was my favorite album.
$100 on this one.
I spent $100 on it. So obviously I recommend it. It's just, there's so much variety in the music and the mood. Yeah. And it's just a masterpiece.
Like, even the stuff that comes off as weak, I mean, they're lyrically, they're worth exploring to come back to.
The weak songs are still good songs. They're just a little weaker than the rest of the album.
Yeah.
And we disagreed on one of, one of my favorites was one of your weak ones. So, weak is relative. That's it for Artificial Heart. Again, reminder, the link to the Marion Call concert will be down in the description. If you enjoyed this video, please give it a like and subscribe if you haven't. Until 2 weeks from now, we're taking next week off because we record on Wednesday nights and I have an appointment in the afternoon. And also on Tuesday, the new World of Warcraft expansion is coming out and I'm going to be a little busy for a while.
I'm driving out in hours from now.
All right, so until 2 weeks from now, when we'll be revealing a final boss by MC Frontalot, which features guest vocals by Jonathan Colton. So we've got a nice little link between three episodes here.
Segwaying.
Until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.